Right now, turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 16. I want to speak today on a subject that's not preached on very, very often, especially in some churches, not at all. It's a subject, if it was better understood, though, I believe it would be a great motivation factor. For those that are lost, I believe it would be a motivation to get saved. For those of us that have trusted the Lord as our Savior, I believe it should be a motivation to witness for Him. That subject is hell, and the title today is Seven False Ideas About Hell that we're going to look at here. I want to read first here in Luke 16, for many people have questions about heaven and hell. Some of them have opinions about heaven and hell, but we want to see what God says about it, and many of the things that we're going to look at this morning have information that will come out of this passage here. So we're going to pick up reading in Luke 16 and verse 19. And this is about the rich man and Lazarus there. It says in 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table." In other words, just leftovers, whatever was thrown out and so forth, he was hoping to get to be able to eat. "Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom." Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to make sure that you've got a basic understanding of this passage and what is going to be talked about as it continues. Abraham's bosom was another term for paradise. And before the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead, paradise was in the center of the earth, as well as hell, the torment side of that compartment there. And as we'll read here, there's a great gulf in between, but they could see into each part there. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ took paradise and took it to third heaven. There's the atmospheric heller, heaven where the birds fly. There is the stellar heaven there where the stars, universe, and so forth. And then there's third heaven, the abode of God. So today, those that came to God by faith that have passed, every one of them, whether in the Old Testament economy or in the New Testament age of the church, they are in paradise, you say, in heaven today. They are in the third heaven in the presence of the Lord. So that is what we're seeing here. There's these two compartments that's being described here. And one is paradise in Abraham's bosom. The other is going to be called hell there, place of the torment. So it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Father Abraham off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now let me say one other thing here. The reason that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom in paradise had nothing to do with him being a beggar or poor. And the reason that the rich man went to hell had nothing to do with his riches, other than it may have gotten in the way of him by faith coming unto God. But the reason or the separation between the two is either you come by God by faith or you don't come to God by faith. That makes the difference right there. We'll say more of it in a minute there. But here we have these two. And so in verse 23, it says here, "The rich man, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence," from where you are. In verse 27, "Then he said, I pray, I beg thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him," send Lazarus, "to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He's talking about there the Old Testament scriptures. As God spoke there in the Old Testament, they have the Word of God. Let them hear the Word of God. David dealt some of that in Sunday school this morning, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing specifically the Word of God. So he says, let them hear Moses and the prophets there, verse 30. And he said, nay, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses, and if they will not listen to the word of God that is written, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Do you know that we have one today that is risen from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living Word of God, and this Bible right here is the written Word of God. And faith comes as we hear this Word, and we respond, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are worthy to go into God's heaven. Not by anything we'll see that we can do, but only by what He has done will it take place. So many have opinions about what heaven and hell is all about. And as they look at hell, they have many opinions about what it is or what it is not. Some even don't even believe in it at all. And I want us to look this morning and see here some of the false ideas that people have about hell, and what does God say about it. For it is God that created all things, including hell. And I'll explain about that in just a moment as well. Father, I pray right now that you would allow us through your word to understand the truth about hell and its punishments and what it is for. And Father, I pray that there would be no one here today that would leave out of this room without knowing for sure that they have taken care of their sin the way that you have said so, and that they have prepared themselves by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as you have commanded, and in doing so that they've made themselves ready for your heaven and not have to go to a place of suffering and torment such as this that has been described. Father, I ask that you would help me to share very clearly this truth, that you through your Holy Spirit would take it and make it and drive it home in each one of our minds, not just to understand facts, but Lord, to make sure that we have been motivated by that truth to do what you have called us to today. And I leave it in your hands, and I ask for your great blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. The first false idea that we come to is that there is not a literal fire in hell, or some would say there's not even a hell. And there's people that certainly believe that way. It is a natural phenomena in the human life, in the human being, that we have a tendency to deny that which we don't want to believe is true. Now, this is, you'll find it true in medicine. Some people will suspect, I think I've got cancer. Well, you need to go to the doctor. No, I don't want to. Why? Because I'm afraid he'll tell me I've got cancer. Well, how's that going to help you? How's that going to work out? If you just don't know about it, it's not real. Or if the doctor says, hey, you've got cancer, and the person goes home and I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to do anything. I don't believe I've got cancer. Why? Because they don't want to face that truth. And there's a natural tendency then to deny that which we don't want to believe is the truth. And when it comes to hell, there are some people, hopefully nobody in here, but there are some people that face it that way. They want to deny hell. They don't want to believe in that. They don't want to even believe in a God. They want to put all of that beside them because they don't want to think about the truth of what that would mean to them if it is true. Well, that's not going to work out at all. Some people humorously make statements like this: you just keep telling yourself that. But then, what good will that do? How's that going to work out? It's not a bit. No matter how many times you tell yourself that there is no gravity, there is no gravity, there is no gravity, you can jump off of a building and you're going to find out it's still true. And the same thing is true from what you find of the truth of God's Word about any subject, including hell. It doesn't matter how many times a person says there is no hell, there is no hell, there is no torment, there is no torment. If they do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will face it personally. And there is no getting around that. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we have a responsibility, we have an opportunity right now to make a difference in the outcome. And that's what we want to see this morning. Jesus said that there was a literal fire in hell. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, Jesus said, "It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." He described hell as having a fire that is unquenchable. Also here in Luke 16, we read about it in the end of verse 22. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Look down to the end of verse 24 there. Dipped the tip of his finger in water and cooled my tongue, for I am tormented in this what? In this flame that is there. Hell is real, and those that go to hell are going to be tormented in a literal flame. They will burn there, yet they will not burn up. They will never be quenched. The fire will never be quenched. There is literal hell and literal torment by fire. Second false idea that has been said is hell is only temporary. There are some religions even that teach this and promote this. Some of them call it purgatory. I looked up purgatory there for the definition the religion gives as a place or state of suffering inhabited by the souls of sinners who are expiating, that is, they are making amends for or atoning for, or making a payment for their sins before they go to heaven. In other words, there are some that preach that and teach that, you know, if you have sinned and so forth, you've got to go to purgatory. And after you spend a certain amount of time there that God deems there, you'll be able to get out of purgatory and go to heaven. And there you'll be with God the rest of your eternity future. That is not what this Bible says. Nowhere in it can you ever find that. Man has come up with that, not God. Same thing for as others that believe that it is a place of suffering because of your sins until someone prays you out, and connected with that is always paying you out. And so many times they preach and they teach and say that if you have a relative or you have a loved one that is in hell today, if you pray hard enough for them and long enough for them, and if you give and so forth to the church and so forth, God will get them out of hell and they will be in heaven from then on. Again, nowhere will you find that in this book. It is not the truth of God's word there. It is what man has come up with, and it is not of God at all. So the truth of God is that hell is not in any way a temporary place. Matthew 25 and verse 41, Jesus said there, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." In other words, hell is not temporary, it is everlasting in the punishment. In Luke 16, as we read there of the rich man and Lazarus there, Abraham told the rich man that hell, there was no way there in verse 26, there's no way for Lazarus to come to him or him to come to paradise. There's no way that you can get out. It is permanent. Hell is not temporary, and those that go there don't get a second chance. That's why it's important, appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. We only can make a difference while we're alive. Once we're dead, God makes the judgment. God makes the call on that. And either your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it is not. And I'll tell you how you can get it there in a moment. But number three, false idea number three, the devil torments people in hell. This may come from, I guess, Hollywood or cartoons or something. I don't know where this comes from. It certainly is not from the Bible. The devil will not be tormenting people in hell because he's the one that's going to be tormented himself. As we talk about hell, and many times the term hell also refers to the lake of fire, which is the permanent there. If you know anything about your prophecy, because at the great white throne judgment, hell, far as the center of the earth, is going to be emptied out to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge at that time. One by one, they will be judged by the works that they've done, and ultimately only then by whether or not their name is written in the book of life. And if their name is not written there, they're cast into the lake of fire, and that will be the ultimate end of that. But God created hell there, the lake of fire there, for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," his demons. So we know that that is the truth. In Revelation chapter 20, it records what's going to happen to the devil. It says in Revelation 20 and verse 10, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are at that point, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Does that sound like the devil is going to be tormented people in hell? No way. He is going to be one of the ones that's going to be tormented there. He is one will be one that's going to be suffering there. And if there are degrees of suffering in the lake of fire, and I believe that there are, you can make a argument for that, I believe the devil is going to be at the worst part of that suffering. Every bit of it will be suffering. Don't get me wrong. But there are going to be some degrees of differences that are there. And we see that through Scripture that is given unto us. So there's an idea there that not only that the fire is not literal, but it is only temporary, and that the devil is going to be tormenting people. None of those things are true, as we have seen. The fourth false idea is that if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you will not go to hell. You will find this believed by many people out here in the world today. If people have any concept at all of heaven and hell, and they're hearing of what's going on, there's a reasoning within man that if I try to do good, and I'm not just a really bad person, I mean, I'm not perfect, get it? You know, you don't understand that, but I'm not like some other people, so I'm pretty good. I try to go to church, and I try to give, and I try to help people in the community, and I try not to cuss too much, and I try, you know, and they go on, and if my good works outweigh my bad ones, I think I'll be okay. Well, again, you won't find that one right here in the Word of God. Matter of fact, you'll find the opposite of that is taught there in Scripture. As soon as you hear someone say that, there ought to be some verses that come to mind. Matthew 19:17, Jesus said this, "There is none good but one, and that is God." All right, if you'll picture right here, this is good. This is God. Every one of us that try to do good, even the best that we can possibly do, still does not measure up to good in God's eyes. The best I can possibly do is as filthy rags, the Scripture says. We miss the mark. And it's so important to understand. In Romans 3 and verse 10, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." How many righteous people are there in the world today? Of our own accord, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse 12 of Romans 3, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That's why in Romans 3:23 it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us have missed the mark. Even in the best that we can possibly do, we still have not done good according to God's measurements. And so for the person to argue and say, "I believe that my good works outweigh my bad," is kind of like saying, "I believe that the best I've ever done that still misses the mark is going to somehow or another make me get to heaven." Not in God's estimation. Not a one of us are worthy according to our works. There's only one person that has ever been pure, ever been without sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the substitute for us, He died in our place on Calvary so that He could pay the price of our sin. I'm getting ahead of myself. I ain't preached in 2 weeks. Turn me loose. He died there so that he could pay the price of our sin, the penalty of our sin. And all we need to do is by faith trust what he did, and that's what brings the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation that we need. It's not trusting what we do, but it's trusting what he did. That's the key that is there. The truth is that only those who by faith in Christ, they are the only ones that will ever be written in the book of life and make it to heaven. Jesus said in Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so it's so important to make sure that your name is written in that book. I'll tell you again in a moment how to get there. The fifth false idea, hell is a place to party. It blows my mind to hear some people talk about hell that way. And I guess they think it's cool or funny or something to say that. But there are some people out there that would actually make that statement. Matthew 22:13 says that hell is a place of outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's torment. That's agony. In Mark 9:43, it says that the hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, it says that hell is a place of torment day and night forever and ever, nonstop, unending suffering. Does that sound like a party? A person who would make that statement has no idea what they're talking about. And they're joking about something that is dead serious that they ought to be considering. It is their eternal future. There are no parties with drinking and dancing and immorality in hell. No pleasure, just pain. No water, just thirst. Fire, yet darkness. A lot of people, yet they will feel alone when they're there. Darkness, loneliness, pain. Again, I ask you, does that sound like a party? Not one I would want to be invited. And I know that anybody in their right mind with seriousness would say, no, I don't want to go there. But some think it's a party. The sixth false idea is, I would not feel at home in heaven because all my friends are in hell. It's a sad thought to think that somebody's, all their friends, everybody they know really, is going to be in hell or is there already. Again, I remind you of what we read here in Luke chapter 16. The rich man there, he said, if you can't help me, send Lazarus to my brothers so that they don't come to this place of torment. Do you know that there is not a person in hell today that wishes that on their enemy, let alone their friends? Nobody in that torment would ever. Some people say, well, misery loves company. Not that misery, buddy. That misery is so sobering that none of them would want that on anybody. So there are some great evangelists in hell today. They became that way when they got there. Unfortunately, it's too late for them, and they can't tell anybody else about it, other than what Scripture says right here about this man in hell. And that's why it's so important to understand there that God gives us the warning. The point is there, the man in torment of hell didn't want anybody to come there, especially those of his friends or of his brothers or his family, etc. there. Understand two things. Christian, first of all, the first one comes to us there. There's a poem that I taped right here in my Bible on this passage. It's been there for years. I've read it to you before. I'm going to read it to you again. It is something that we need to understand and we need to be hit with concerning this particular message and the fact that that we've got people that are going to go to hell that are around us. It says there, a voice from hell, you lived next door to me for years. We shared our dreams, our joys, our tears. A friend to me you were indeed, a friend who helped me when in need. My faith in you was strong and sure. We had such trust as should endure. No spats between us ever rose. Our friends were like, and so our foes. What sadness then, my friend, to find that after all you weren't so kind. The day my life on earth did end, I found you weren't a faithful friend. For all those years we spent on earth, you never talked of second birth. You never spoke of my lost soul and of the Christ who'd make me whole. I plead today from heaven's cruel fire and tell you now my last desire. Excuse me, I can't even see. I plead today from heaven's cruel fire and tell you now my last desire. You cannot do a thing for me. No words today my bonds will free. But do not err, my friend, again. Do all you can for souls of men. Plead with them now quite earnestly, lest they be cast in hell with me. Folks, that's for me. I need that. We need that. Because people are going to hell next door to us, in our families, who work beside of us, and we're not telling them. We have the truth. And what, are we afraid that they're going to be offended? Are we afraid that they're going to think us strange? We should be afraid what they're going to think of the moment after they hit hell. What are they going to think of us then? If we weren't a faithful friend. To those that are lost, I would say to you today, if you have friends and relatives in hell, they're not at all wanting to see you there. They're hoping that someone is going to warn you. Can I say to you right now, you look right here, if you've never trusted Christ, this is your warning. This truth of God's Word is what you need. And don't walk out of here without it. It's the choice you must make. This, today, is your warning. The last false idea that we see is one you hear a lot. God is too loving to send people to hell. God's love for all people is certainly true. John 3:16 is probably one of the best known passages of Scripture that is there. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we understand the truth of what God has done and what the Lord Jesus Christ did in coming. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in hell, but have eternal life with God in heaven, it's speaking of. Notice verse 18. In John 3 and verse 18, it says, He that believeth on Him, that is on the Lord Jesus Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, there are a few things I emphasize there. The only begotten Son of God. He is the only way. There's none other way. There's only one mediator between the one God and all of mankind, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The book of Acts says there, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that situation also where that but is there. It says there that those have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are not condemned, but those that have not believed are already condemned. They're condemned already. Do you know what it means? That when we're born into this world, we come into this world with a default setting. And that default setting is that we are lost. We are condemned already. We're already on our way to hell and judgment. If nothing changes that, we will end up in hell for all eternity future. That's the way that we're born. But because God loves the world, all the people that are in it, He was willing to give of His only Son to come and to die in our place, that we would not have to perish and go to that hell of torment, but that we could have the forgiveness of our sins and receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ and be worthy of God in heaven. That's true of God's love, but that does not negate the fact that we're born with a default setting of being condemned. And the only thing that can change that setting is the choice that we make to believe that, first of all, that we have a genuine need. If you don't believe you have a need, you're not going to do anything about it. You've got to first recognize that you're lost. Secondly, you believe that Jesus Christ came and in your place died on Calvary to pay for your sin. And when you believe that, and then by faith you make a choice to receive what He did as your payment of sin, because Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty. Not just a physical death, but it is a separation from God, our spirit from God, in a place of torment called the lake of fire for all eternity future. That's the punishment. That's the payment for sin. But, the verse goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that gift, just like any other gift here about in Christmas we're going to get to, all you need to do is receive it for it to be yours. And God offers it to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the choice then comes down to this. Many of you already have made it. There's possibly someone or someone's here that have not yet. But many of you, if not all of you, this week will come side by side with others that have not trusted Christ. All they need to do to get from condemned to not condemned is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, receiving it as their payment of sin. For John 1:12 says, "As for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Receiving the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Over in chapter 5, verse 24 of John, "Verily, verily," Jesus said, "I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's what He promises there. In Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." So how do we get in Christ? It is by faith we believe we have a need. We believe that He died in our place. And by faith we believe and trust Him as our payment of sin. And then we have our default setting changed to not condemned anymore. Never again will we suffer in that position there. We will have God's forgiveness. We will have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. One day, either by death or by rapture, we'll be taken out of this world into God's presence. And forever we shall be with the Lord. And that is the great truth that God gives unto us. But there's so many that misunderstand. Hell is real. It was created for the devil and his angels. But all those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ because of sin, they are condemned already, and they will end up in that stead with that punishment if they do not make the right choice. Friends, do you know for sure today that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't hope so, but do you know for sure that that's true of you? Don't leave out of here without it. Every head bowed, please. Christian, can I say also to you very quickly, remember the poem I read there, The Voice from Hell. Are you a faithful friend who shares the gospel? We need to be so. Father, I pray, whatever our need this morning, that You have made it evident. You have shown us through Your word. I pray, Lord, for anyone here that has never trusted the Lord as their Savior, whether they did not understand unto this point, or whether they've been putting it off, or whether they're just not sure if they have and they want to make sure, Lord, I pray that you would give them each the understanding, the urge, Lord, to make it right today. Find out for sure that they know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. And Father, for every one of us, that we would be more active in our witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, for people need the Lord. And I pray that you would embed that upon our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. 309.